resume this sugis of tefillin. Lamed vav amud aleph. We had begun, we had pivoted, I should say, to hanochas tefillin on lamed hamid beis. And you'll remember the Gemara had opened the focus on hanochas tefillin, moving from the heftza of tefillin to what we do with tefillin, with a focus on bracha. Lamed hamid beis Gemara spoke about when you say the bracha, which was specific to, Gemara raised it as a tefillin issue, it's really a global issue of saying birkas mitzvahs over las yasan. Then lamed vav amud aleph, the Gemara continued the theme of birkas mitzvahs, and the Gemara had moved into a discussion of how many mitzvahs do you say. We saw that sounds like it was some discussion among the Amoraim, and certainly a rich machlokas. Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim get involved as well. Do you always say a separate bracha on Sharosh, or only when there's heftik? Mitzvah tefillin versus lahaniach tefillin. And now we move on to the hanachas tefillin itself. And we're going to see here, once again, that the Gemara is going to start with something that's tefillin specific, but it's going to become something much more broad and really universal. We're going to start this tonight, and we'll never continue next week, the question of sequencing mitzvahs, Seder in Asiyas HaMitzvahs. So again, as I said, the Gemara focuses here on tefillin in particular. So let's take a look around 8-10 lines from the top. Tana, the last word on the line is Tana. Tana keshu meniach, meniach shal yad, v'achach meniach shal rosh. We have a brisa. Brisa tells us that when you put tefillin on, you put on the shayad, and then you put on the shalrosh. Kishuhu choletz, and you remove the tefillin. Cholet shalrosh, acha cholet shayad. You remove the shalrosh first, and then you remove the shayad. Right? Again, this is a din which is very familiar to us, that we reverse the order. The order of chalitza is the reverse of the order of hanacha. We take it for granted because of lam vavam alfa manachas. But where does this come from? So the girl wants to know. The Gemara wants to know, where does this come from? Bishlama kishu meniach meniach shayav meniach shal rosh. The first half of the braise, so we know where it comes from. Dechsevu kshartam laosa edecha, v'hadir v'hayu t'tav t'afas b'yinach. You have the Seder of Psukim. Every time that, all four times that the Torah speaks of hanachas tefillin, it's always the shayad is mentioned before the Sharosh, both times in Parshas Bo, and in Vaschan, the Parsha Shema Havta, and in Ekev, in the Parsha Ayim Shema. It's always Shayad first, Sharosh second. Okay. El Kishu Cholet, Chol Sharosh, Chol Shayad, Minon. What tells you that you should remove it in the reverse order? It can't be based on that indication. So the Gemara says, well, Amar Rabbah. Rabba says here there's a girsa issue. You see the little letter B's with a bracket, sends it to the Shita Mekubetzes and Kachim. The Shita Mekubetzes, at least part of the Shita Mekubetzes, appears on this in the margin. So our girsa is Amar Rabba Rav Huna Asper Li. Rav Huna explained to me, and the other girsa is Rav Hamnuna Asper Li. Okay. So either way, Rabba is quoting that one of his Rebbeim, or one of the Amoraim, the previous generation, explained the solution to this riddle. What's the source for the din that appears in the Braisa that Chalitza Satfilin, the removal of Tfilin, is Dafka Sharosh first and then Shayad? Maybe it should have been Shayad then Sharosh? Or maybe it should just be open, because we don't really have any source in any direction. So the answer was, it is from that Pasuk, but it's from a nuance in that Pasuk. V'hayula totafos b'neinecha. V'hayula totafos b'neinecha, kazman sh'b'neinecha yirshtayim. The Gemara says that when the Pasuk describes the Sharosh, it describes with a plural. V'hayula totafos b'neinecha. Why not just say, ukshartam yos aladecha, ula totafos b'neinecha. Either v'haya, or leave it out entirely. What do you need the v'hayu for? Sounds like the Torah is going out of its way to add a plural. That's because when you have the shal, when you've all the shalrosh, it always has to be two. You always have to have the shalrosh together the shayad. You don't have the shayad. You don't have the sharosh alone. So the sharosh together the shayad. So the meila, when you take him off, you have to take off the sharosh first. Because if you take off the shayad first, you'll be leaving the sharosh solitary, and that's inappropriate. So that's what the Gemara says here. This appears not only here. Let's take a look in the Gemara Erechin as well. Let's take a look at the Gemara in Erechin that the Mesoros HaShas sends us to. See, the little letter Dalet tells us, Ayin Tosas Erechin. The Tosas in Erechin raises this. What does Tosas in Erechin want? Why are we moving from one Mesecht in Kadshim to another? The truth is, the beginning of Erechin has a long list. Here, Erechin Gav Gilma Beis, in the middle of a long list of probably brises, that begin with Hakol. Hakol Chayavin. The X. It's like you're very familiar with the list of Mishnayos, the series of Mishnayos, the end of the first paragraph of Megillah, all the Ein Bains. Ein Bain, X, La, Y, L, Z. You have that actually a number of different places in Shas where the Mishnayos have a certain format and then they move them. We mentioned that here in Menachos, that's how Tefillin and Tzitzis and Mezuzah all get mentioned in Menachos because of discussions of are two different items, Ma'akiv Zezer, they're not Ma'akiv Zezer. See, here in Erechin, beginning of Erechin, you have yet another such list that ties together a wide variety of topics with a Hakol Chayavin Be'ex. So, for instance, here, slightly more than halfway down the Amud, Gimel Amud Beis at the two dots, the number of two dots on this Amud, Hakol Chayavin Be'tfilin, Kohanim Levi'im V'Yisraelim. So now the Amaram try to understand, well, what's a question that comes up often in these contexts. What's the Chiddush? But our focus specifically is on tefillin. What's the Chiddush? Everyone is chayav in tefillin, Kohanim Levi'im and Yisraelim. What would you have thought? Which, let's put it this way, which of those is inobvious? Why would I have thought, it's not Pidyon HaBen, not Birkas Kohanim? Why would I have thought, is it a chiddush that you thought Kohanim do have to put on tefillin? Or you thought Leviim don't? Maybe Yisraelim don't? Well, you would think for some reason that tefillin is reserved for Shevet Levi. What's this all about? The Gemara says, Pshita. The Gemara says, no. One of these is a chiddush. Which one? Kohanim. Kohanim, it's Strichle. The chiddush was that Kohanim have to put on tefillin. Why is that such a chiddush? I'm a Kohen. Well, why would I have thought that you're chayav in tefillin, but I'm patur from tefillin? I could show up to. Why would I have thought that I could show up to shachar to that tefillin? So what does that mean? It's a striking gemara. The gemara says, "Sakotaitecha mina hol k'sivu k'shaitim." I said, "Dehu tatavos bein einecha." The Torah says, the pasuk that we're talking about, and specifically called the itzei b'mitzvah diyad, the itzei b'mitzvah derosh. I would have thought that whoever has the mitzvah of shayad has the mitzvah of shalrosh. In other words, this is a hekesh. I have two mitzvahs that appear, two concepts appear in the same pasuk. So I should assume that they travel in tandem. So whoever has the mitzvah of shayad has the mitzvah of shalrosh. Who doesn't have a mitzvah of shayad? Hani kohanim. Ho v'leisnehu b'mitzvah diyad. Kohanim don't have the mitzvah of shayad, really? Yeah, the chsiv yilbash al b'saro. The Torah describes that the Kohen wears the ksones directly on his body. Shlo yehi davar chotetz beino ubein b'saro. There can't be any chatzitz. The Kohen's wearing big day kahuna. There can't be anything underneath that's a davar hamafsik between the big day kahuna and his skin. And that's why he can't wear a shalyad. So I would have thought that since the Kohen is not wearing a shalyad because he's wearing big day kahuna, so maybe you shouldn't wear a shalrosh either. Interesting havamina. There's a dog. Let's talk a good havamina. Such a good havamina. So what's wrong with that? That's a good argument. And as a matter of fact, there's a similar, if that style of drasha sounds similar, it's because we do limaskan. The Gemara is about to reject this drasha. But there are other cases where the Gemara does make such a drasha lemaskana. For instance, kol sheyeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'zchira. Those are learned daf yomi. This was a couple of months ago. Brachas daf chaf, I believe. Yotes or chaf, I think it's chaf. That whoever, zachar and shamar go together. So any Jew who's bound by shmira, bound by the Isra malacha on Shabbos, is also obligated in zechira, in the mitzvah of kiddush. That's how the Gemara derives that women are as chayav in kiddush as men, even though this is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Typically, women should be patur, so mitzvah zaseh shazman grama, a positive time-bound mitzvah. But Kiddush is an exception because it's hukash to shamar. It's hukash to the Iser Malacha. So that's a sort of, that drasha does stand l'maskana. That is true. That is the maskana. Women are chayavos, the Kiddush Hayom and Devar Torah, the Gemara says in Brachas. So the Gemara says we should have made a similar drasha here. Shayad Sharosh appear in the same pasuk. So if you're part of Shayad, you're part of Sharosh. A Kohen B'shas Avoda, again, a Kohen, I have not ever been in my life been Zocha yet to wear a big day kahuna, so this Patur has never applied to me. But Meher Yibana Beisan Mikdash, a Kohen wearing big day kahuna Beisan Mikdash does not wear a Shayad. So that the Gemara says, that's the point of this brisa. Kol chayavim b'tefillin. The way the sugya began in the Erechin. Kol chayavim b'tefillin can't leave in Yisrael. And the chiddush is, the Kohen is as chayiv as a Levi in the Yisrael. A little different. The Levi in Yisrael are wearing tefillin shayad and shalrosh. The Kohen, even if he cannot wear shayad, he still wears the shalrosh. Why taka? What's wrong with that hakash? So the Gemara says, well, Kamash malandalama akvia dadi. Kamash malandalama akvia dadi. The Bryce is coming to tell you that Shayad Sharosh are not ma'aki one another. Kiddush not. The truth is, it's a Mishnah. Tvil Shayad ain't a makeva Sharosh. Visharosh ain't a makeva Shayad. That's our Mishnah that's one of the Mishnahis in Menachas about Tvil. It's the Mishnah in the fourth parak. The Shayad Sharosh are independent. You can have Shayad and Sharosh, you can have Sharosh without Shayad. I think in the last Chabur 2 weeks ago, we saw the way the Rambam quotes this. It came up in the Sugya of Brachas as well. And the Rambam quoted this Mishnah. He had said that there's a mitzvah Sharosh and the mitzvah Shayad, and you can have one without the other. That's what the Mishnah says, as we see the Gemara in Erech has coined that Mishnah in Menachas. And the Rambam argues in the both in the Sefer HaMitzvos and in Mishnah Torah in Perek Dav Hilchos Tefillin, that's why they are two separate mitzvahs in the Tariq mitzvahs. Shalyan and Shalosh are two separate mitzvahs, and that's why you can have one without the other. That's the indication that they are two separate mitzvahs. Sure. That's a very good, very sharp question. So I always ask you, the Gemara suggested the hekesh between Shayad and Sharosh. The argue the Hava mina tapat kohen is not quite the same as Kiddush, because the Kohen is not categorically pater from Shayad. Raila Dava, I do wear a Shayad every morning because I'm not wearing a big tikkun. It's not fundamental. And even Kohen b'shas avoda is not fundamental. It's just that the big day kahuna take precedence over tefillin. But it's not that he's fundamentally, probably not that he's fundamentally pater. Yeah, that is a good point. And the fact that it's not categorical, by the way, I think what you're saying answers the unanswered question, the Gemara. The Gemara, well, I take a peek in Tosis, but the Gemara said, I should have said, we have a hekesh, kamash mulan. No, that's not the din. That's the Brisa says it's not the din. The Kohanim are also chayiv in tefillin, and the Mishnah indicates that you can have shayad that shirosh shirosh at shayad. The hanging thread in our Gemara, the Gemara didn't explain. Okay, so I know that's the din because the Mishnah brings to tell me, but I don't know why. How come we don't accept that hekesh? So it could be, Ari, that you're filling in the missing link. How come I would have had to have him in a kohen shri potter because of the hekesh? Kamash malon, he's not. Why not? What's talk around the hekesh? Maybe it's because of what you're saying. The hekesh doesn't hold water because it's not that a kohen is fundamentally potter from shayad. It's that he happens not to be put on shayad. And I think that may go back to the logic, the way the Rambam plays out. We were talking about just a couple minutes ago that saying that these two are not ma'akvo zu, saying that you can have shayad that shayosh and vice versa, is for the Rambam to say that they are two separate mitzvahs. So what that means is that they function independently. So that's why, if for some reason your particular circumstance, Reuven is not going to put on a shayad, whether it's because he's a kohen b'shas avod wearing big day kahuna, or because Nebuchadnezzar has no arm, or because he has no tefillin shalyad and there's no one around to borrow from. For whatever reason, practically speaking, he's not wearing shalyad, he still wears a shalrosh, because they're two independent mitzvahs. What the Hekesh could have crafted is what you have with Kiddush and Malacha. Kiddush and Malacha are two separate mitzvahs. You have a mitzvah say of Kiddush and a mitzvah lo say not to do Malacha. When there's someone that is categorically included or excluded from one, that tells me something about his or her inclusion or exclusion from the other. So if there would be, if I would have known, you're right, like you're saying, if there would have been that there's someone who's fundamentally pater, categorically pater from Shal Yad, he would have been pater from Shal Rosh also. But as far as we don't have such a person. We don't have such a person who's fundamentally excluded from one but not from the other. Maybe you're saying maybe I could have said that that's the havamin is that they're somehow like they're fundamentally not in the parsha of the mitzvah. Kamash Milan, they're still b'nei chiyuva and tefillin. It's just that the mitzvah of a big day kahuna overrides is docha the mitzvah of tefillin. Maybe a hutra dechuya. Maybe that's part of the motion more interesting. That's an interesting point. Now, Tosfos relates this Gemara, and really it's the Mishnah in Menachos that the Gemara is quoting, because fundamentally this Gemara is in Erechin is expanding on the Mishnah in the fourth paragraph of Menachos, that Shal Yad Shal Rosh Ana Ma'akva Zuzu. So how does this relate back to our Gemara in Lamed Vav, in the third paragraph? What would you say? Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos raises an interesting question. One of the very small Tosfos in Dibra Maschil Shel. Shel Yadayim Makeva Shel Rosh. The Tosfos says, well, Avagav Darm Bi Alma Bim Menachas Ulato Tafos Bein Nech Kozman Shemay Nech Yushnayim. What do you do with the Gemara Menachas? Our Gemara. We have a Drasha Kozman Shemay Nech Yushnayim. What do you do with that? What do you want to do with that? What's his problem? Tosfos is not really articulating. They're raising a question, posing a question without articulating it, and leaving it sort of implying a question. What's the kasha? So the kasha is, how do you tell me? It's really the Mishnah in the fourth paragraph of Menachos, but the Gemara here in Erchin is unpacking it. That if I cannot wear a shal yad, I still do wear a shal rosh, right? Because they're not ma'akva zuazu. Says Tosfos, it's very nice. We're not ma'akva zuazu. But we said kol zman shebein nech yishnayim. Isn't that a violation? How are you going to put a shal rosh without a shal yad? To put a shal yad without a shal rosh, okay, that's fine. Shal rosh is not ma'akiv shal yad. If for some reason a Jew cannot put on a shal rosh, you don't have a shal rosh, or something, medical condition with his head, he's not able to put on a shal rosh, still put on a shal yad. Okay. Put on a shal yad, you never get around to put on a shal rosh. But the reverse, how is the reverse possible? Tosfos says, wait a minute, it's against our Gemara in Menachos. Daf Lamed Vav, Kol Zman Shebein Nech Yishnayim. For the same reason that when I take off the show, I have to take off the Sharosh before the Shal Yad, I'm not allowed to have a Sharosh on alone. It cannot be solitary. Kol Zman Shebein Nech Yishnayim. So if I'm not able to wear a Shal Yad at all, so I shouldn't wear the Sharosh. How are you going to tell the Kohen, okay, you're not going to wear a Shal Yad, but wear the Sharosh anyways? What do you mean? Kol Zman Shebein Nech Yishnayim. Or a Jew who lost the Shal Yad, or the Shal Yad became pasul, or he has a cast all the up and down the shal, shal, all the up and down the arm, impossible to put on Shal Yad. So what? The truth is, again, like I said before, it's not really a steer between the Gemara in Erechin and our Gemara in Menachos. It's really the Mishnah in the fourth paragraph of Menachos. In other words, how does the drasha going back to our Gemara Lamavav and Aleph? We said that the reason why the Brisa says you take the Sharosh off first is because of a rule called Man Shebeinecha Yishnayim. Rav Huna asked really, what do you mean? It's against the Mishnah. It's against the Brisa and Erech. It's against the Mishnah, Beferish Mishnah, in the fourth parak of Menachos. The Shalyah is not Ma'akev Sharosh. You can have a Sharosh Lashem. What do you mean? Called Man Shebeinecha Yishnayim. Our Gemara Menachos Lamavav is Ma'akev against the Mishnah. It's essentially what Tosfos is asking. Again, the Mishnah just says it briefly. The Gemara in Erechin unpacks it and gives us an example of what that would look like. You have the Kohen You got to take a look at the picture, Machon Mikdash pictures. I believe at least some of them have the Kohen wearing the tefillin shalrosh. But if you look carefully at his hands, and no ritzuas around his hands, because he's wearing the shalrosh, the shal. Yeah, that's the din. The question is, and again, that's an example of the Mishnah Menachos. Question is, so then why do we take off our shalrosh before the shayat? That's Tosas Kasha. What's Tosas' answer? What's Tosas' answer? Tosas answers, well, here again. Again, just to appreciate that we could very easily breeze through that line. He's really asking a kasha without the Vim Tomar, but he's asking a kasha. Isn't that Gemara? Doesn't that Gemara Menachos Lavav, our Gemara, fly in the face of this Gemara in Erechin, fly in the face of the Tosa, the Mishnah in Menachos that the Gemara in Erechin is quoting? And for Tosas, well, what that means is that when you put both on, you have to put on the Shel Yad first. Huh. What does that mean? What was the answer? What was the answer? What was the answer? It's a good kasha. What was the answer? Oh, what that means is when you put the Shel Yad, put the tefillah on, you gotta put the Shel Yad first. In other words, what's he saying? The drasha was called Zman Shebein Nechi Yerushalayim. You always have to. You can't have the Sharosh alone. When you have the Sharosh, you always have to. It always has to become by Shel Yad. So what's Tosas answering? Tosas says, no, that's only when you put them on. No, the Gemara is already taking them off. They talk about putting them on. So I think what Tosas is saying, the following Lamdish idea, what Tosas is saying is it's a little bit of a misnomer. It's not that there's a rule that you cannot have the Shel Yad, you cannot have the Sharosh that Shel Yad. That cannot be true. That's the simplest reading of the language of our Gemara, but it cannot be true because it flies in the face of the Mishnah that the Shel Yad is not Ma'akevus Sharosh. Shel Yad does not hold the Sharosh back. So what Tosas is saying is, well, it has to do with how you put them on. You put on the Shel Yad first. Well, the Kohen doesn't put on the Shel Yad first. He puts on the Sharosh first, only. Never puts on the Shel Yad. So what's Tosas saying? What Tosas saying is exactly. All that the Drasha is teaching me is a rule of Kedima. All that the Drasha is teaching me is a rule of sequencing. We have various rules of sequencing mitzvahs. Probably the most famous is a Mishnah in Zvachim, which is called Tadrimei Chaver or Kodem Nizchaver. When you have two mitzvahs to do and one is more frequent than the other, we do the more frequent, the Tadir. The mitzvah Tadira we do first. I think that's one of the reasons why the Rush gives when you have Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Teves. Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Teves. So it's both Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah. The Rush discusses how do you organize the laning. We're going to lane the Parsha Shavuot, probably Miketz, in six, seven liyas. We're going to squish them into six. And then we'll lane for Rosh Chodesh and for Hanukkah. Which one goes first? The Rush says, second parak of Shabbos, you lane Rosh Chodesh first, Hanukkah second. Why? Because that's the rule. Tadir v'she'eno tadir. Tadir kodim. Tadir v'she'eno tadir. Tadir kodim is, again, one of the most famous rules of sequencing mitzvahs, but it's certainly not the only one. But again, that's a question. I have two mitzvahs to do. Which one do I do first? Which one do I do second? So what Tosas is saying is, here's another rule of kedima b'mitzvahs. That's what this is. I have two mitzvahs to do, Shel Rosh and Shel Yad. Which one do I do first? So the rule is, do the Shel Yad first and the Shel Rosh second. It's a rule of kedima b'mitzvahs. But if I'm not doing both mitzvahs, then there's no rule of kedima, no rule of sequence unless I'm doing both. I'll give you an example of that. Going back to Tadir, it says that there's a very short siman Shulchan Aruch. I think it's in the, it might be in Hilchos Yom Kippur, or maybe it's earlier in Aruch Chaim. They quote Shulchan Aruch based on a Tosus. Tosus says that you got to be careful, you know, there's a lot of thought about the length of davening in Yom Aram. Tosus says, going back many centuries, you got to be careful on Yom Kippur not to say piyutim of Yotzros in the Birkas Kriya Shema at such great length. It's important. Tosis, they said many piyutim, Balya Tosis. They said you shouldn't say so many piyutim that you don't end up getting up to Musaf until you already reach Zman Mincha. Wow. Got that? Tosis was worried about the possibility of getting up to Musaf at, like, let's say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The Tosis said, if you're going to say so many piyutim in Shacharis that you don't get to Musaf at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's too much. Why? Because, Tosis says, at that point, you've reached the Zman Mincha. And now you have two mitzvahs to do, both Mincha and Musaf. So we usually daven Musaf before Mincha. But Tosis points out, based on the Gemara, that that once Zman Mincha has arrived, you would probably have to say daven Mincha before Musaf. Why? Because of this rule. Tadir Hashem, Tadir, Tadir Kodim. You daven Mincha every day. You only daven Musaf Shabbos Yontif. So if you have both mitzvahs to do, Mincha takes precedence. Mincha comes first because of Tadir. Interesting. It's a very curious idea. We don't normally daven Mincha before Musaf. How come? Well, simple reason. Because usually we're not planning to do both. Usually we get up to Musaf at 10 in the morning or 12 noon, so we don't have two mitzvahs in front of us. We plan to only daven Mincha Musaf. We're going to daven Mincha later. It's not a toss-up which mitzvah should we do first. When it's a rule of kedima, like Tadir, it only applies when I have two mitzvahs to do. I need to do them both, and I have to figure out which one should I do first, which one should I do second. That's where we get into a question of sequencing. So again, if it's already Zman Mincha, so that I need to daven Musaf and Mincha, so now the rules of kedima, like Tadir, come into play, which one first, which one second. But if there's only one mitzvah that I need to do right now, then rules of Kedima are irrelevant. So that seems to be what Tosfos is saying here as well. That this drasha, Kozman Shebeinu Necha, Yiushnaim, it's only a rule of Kedima. It's only a rule of sequencing mitzvahs. In what order do you do the Maise Mitzvah? It doesn't sound like that. It sounds like it's like a more general rule. You're not allowed to have the Shalrosh on alone. But Tosfos says, you can't say that. That's impossible, because the Mishnah in Menachos implies, and the Gemara in Erechin is explicit, that when there is no Shalyad around, you do put on the Shalrosh alone. The Tosfos says it must be that even though it sounds like it's an Isser Matzav, it sounds like it's an Isser to have that state, to have that situation, you're not allowed to wear Shalyad Rosh alone. Clearly, that's just it's a poetic way of saying a rule of Kedima. And the poetic language is because that's how you darshan it. All the Tosfos is saying is, all the Torah wanted to teach me is a rule, a sequence for actions, a sequence for ma'asim. But the way the Torah phrased it is, the language sounds like a matzah. We want to have the scenario of having both Shalrosh and having the Shalrosh together with the Shalyat. But what that implies is really that you ought to be, that you ought to, it's a very elegant way of telling me really two rules of Kedima. Which two rules of Kedima? A Kedima of Hanacha and a Kedima of Chalitza. It's a very elegant, saying V'hayu, in one word, the Torah told me two dinim. Number one, that the Seder Hanacha is Shalyad first, Shalrosh second. Number two, that the Seder Chalitza is Shalrosh first, Shalyad second. And here's an interesting point. You see, our Tosvos, right here in Erechid, they mentioned that the drasha is relevant to Bishashe Meniach Shneihem. Now you go back to the Gemara in Menachos, the Gemara said, I understand why you put in the Shalyad for Seder Nacha, that makes sense because Ukshartam, and then Vahayu. Vahayu, you take them off in the other direction. The Gemara says, Vahayu is Lashon Rabbim. But Tosfos says, Tosfos is implying that ultimately we reject the first line of the Gemara. You're teaching me two rules, both how you put them on and how you take them off. But it's only a din of kedima. It's a double din of kedima. It's a din of kedima in terms of maase hanacha, and a din of kedima in terms of maase chalitza. But it's not an iser to have the sharosh on alone. And that's why, says Tosfos, if your kedima, as you said before, in the Musaf Mincha context, rules of kedima are only relevant when you plan to do both maasim. So if I plan to put on both shayyan and sharosh, or if I plan to take off both the shayyan and the sharosh, okay. So then here's the order in which you do them. For Hanacha, Shayyad comes first. For Chalitza, Sharosh comes first. If I'm not planning to do both, then there's no issue. Then put on the Sharosh alone. Put on the Sharosh alone, no problem. And that again, now we look back at that Tosis. Tosis, that very, very brief Tosis, golden, very rich, and very, and gorgeous. The Gemara Menachas says, "Vahayu, you're always supposed to have an accompanied shalrosh. When you have the shalrosh, you always have both tefillin on. So how are you allowed to wear the shalrosh alone?" And for Tosfos says, "No, it doesn't really mean that you're forbidden to wear a shalrosh without a shalyad. It just means b'shashim iniach name sharach lahakdim shalyad. It's just a rule of kedima, a rule of kedima in terms of." Hanacha of both, do Hanacha Shayyad before Hanacha Sharosh, as well as, what Tosa doesn't spell out, it's also a rule of Kedima in terms of Chalitza. Do Chalitza Sharosh before the Chalitza Shayyad. And what I would suggest to you is that this, again, is a subtlety in Tosfos, but Tosfos is subtly, but I think now that we see it, clearly saying that although the Drasha sounds like it's an Isur Matzav, an Isur to have a certain state, what it really is just a din kedima in maasim, a sequence of actions. I think it speaks as well to Ha'ara by David Luria. I don't know if he's related to any of the other Lurias. Darizal, his last name was Rav Yitzchak Luria. So I don't know if he's related or not. But if you have a full Gemara Menachos, it's in the back, all the way in the back, right after the Marsha and the Rashash. A few pages after Rashash, you have the Hagos of Rav David Luria, the Radal. So he raises the following question. What would you say on our Gemara, in Lamed Vav, the one Ha'ari he has on Lamed Vav Amenal? So he raises the following question. The Gemara has this din, Paskim Shulchan Aruch, he put in Shayyad first, take off the Sharosh first. What, based on what? Because Manshmei Nech Yushnayim. So he wants to know, what happens if... the tefillin slip. This is the bar mitzvah bachar shayla. It can happen to people our age also, but it happens more frequently. It happens to us more frequently. Looking around, we're all in our 20s or 30s here. So, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, when the first time to put on tefillin, or if you've helped a son or perhaps a grandson recently with his tefillin, so, one of the parts that needs the most experience is how you get the shalyad to really stick, to really tighten the shalyad. So it's not kind of circulation, but on the other hand, it is well fixed. And that's often a problem in the early months or even early years of wearing tefillin. The shalyad tends to, after a while, moving around, especially trying to wear a jacket sleeve over it, often ends up slipping away. Sometimes it happens to sharosh, sometimes it's to shalyad. I think shayyad more often. The shayyad ends up in the middle of a davening at some point. The shayyad begins to twist out of place. So what do you do with the shayyad twist out of place? Well, obviously, okay, put it back. Okay. Take off the sleeve and get the shayyad back into place. Obvious. Based on our Gemara, what shayla might you wonder about? Think of how our Gemara relates the question of Seder, v'hayilu tatafos be'necha, because Mashmei Nechi Yishnayim, how does that, what child does it raise lahalacha? Yeah. The Radal says, hey, 1 second, it's going to take me 10 seconds to get the shayyad back into place. Right? Especially if I have a shirt sleeve over it, if I have a jacket sleeve over it, b'chlal. Like often when it ends up slipping, sometimes you have to unwind all the windings to really, be able to tighten it properly. So he says, your natural instinct would be, okay, so let me get to work getting the shayyad back into place. He says, oh, 1 second. Maybe it's going to take you 10 seconds or 60 seconds to get the shayyad back into place, tightened and good to go. But in 2 seconds, you could easily remove your shalrosh. So Radal says, 1 second, do I have to remove the shalrosh right? As soon as my shalyad slips to the side, slips out of position, maybe the first thing I should do is not worry about the shalyad. The first thing I should do is worry about the shalrosh. I should remove the shalrosh right away. Because kozman shmei necha yishnayim. It's going to take me a minute, half a minute, 2 minutes, whatever it is. It's going to take me a little bit of time to get the shalyad back on. If the shalyad slipped too far away, it's a gemara later, deeper into the sugis, but there is a makam hanachas tefillin. The shalyad is in the wrong place. I'm not mekayim shalyad. So right now I have the shalrosh on. Shalyad is hanging from my arm, but it's irrelevant. I'm not in fulfillment of shalyad. It's in the wrong location. So he's Radal says, offhand, based on our gemara, you should remove the shalrosh right away. Take off the shalrosh, put it down on the table, and then work on the shalyad. Otherwise, for the next minute, so they have shalyad back in place, it's gonna, you could be in violation of the iser. What would you say? Does that sound reasonable? Should I remove the shalyad? Shalrosh is accessible. It'll take me a moment to remove the shalrosh. And that way I'll steer clear of violating kol zman shmei necha yishnayim. What would you say? That's an interesting question. Do you say a new bracha? That's an interesting question you're raising. Do you say a new bracha when you fix it? Yeah, you have already said a bracha, but I'm not sure about it. It's an interesting question. I'm not 100% sure. It might be that you do say a bracha. Certainly by in Hilchas Tzitzis, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it actually is quoted by Nosek in Hilchas Mezuzah as well. That if the talus falls off, if you take the talus off intentionally, the fellow needs to use the bathroom. He takes the talus off, hangs it outside, goes in, comes back out, then you do not make a new bracha. Or for some other reason, you took off the talus for a couple minutes, you put it down, you put it back, you have someone else needs to borrow a talus. You take off the talus, you give it to them, they're borrowing for Tzedakah, they're borrowing for an aliyah, and then they give back the talus. There's no need to repeat the bracha when you put it back on. If you took the talus off, b'chavana. If the talus falls off on its own, you didn't intentionally remove it, then you actually do recite the new bracha. Because that's a hefsek. It's not a hefsek if I remove it intentionally with intent to put it back on soon. So the fact that I took it off deliberately with intent to put it back on soon, that sort of patches the gap. But if it just fell off, if I took it off and thinking I wouldn't put it back on today or for a very long time, or if it fell off on its own, I had no intent, so then I do have to make a new bracha, even if I put it back moments later. So it could be the same is true for tefillin as well. If it fell off on its own, it could be I do have to make a new bracha, if you're certain that it fell so far that your taqwa were not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. That's a good question. Is there bracha levatala? Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. So it's if the bracha is unwarranted, if the bracha is unwarranted, then no need to say that next bracha. Then it's a bracha levatala. But if the original bracha didn't last, let's say for instance, going back to the previous sugya, I want to come back to our sugya. But let me just respond to your point. Let's say in the previous sugya we spoke about the fellow was schmoozing between the shayad sharosh. Right, so that's what the previous gemara said. You got to repeat the bracha. We had discussed which bracha you're repeating, but you're going to say an extra bracha. Is that a bracha levatala? Well, you shouldn't have spoken. Certainly, goring bracha shnei tzricha. But once you have spoken, once you create that hefsek, there now is a need for a new bracha, which otherwise it would not have been. But once you sort of disconnected from that first bracha, you are required to make a new bracha. It's no longer levatala. So that's what's going on here. The talus fell off. So now that ended the jurisdiction of the first bracha. Now I need to make a new bracha. So the same might be true for tefillin as well. Coming back to Radal's question, let's now come back to the thread. So again, the Radal had asked if my shalyad falls off, so we can discuss what Arya and Stephen were talking about. We can discuss, do I need to make a new bracha when I put the tefillin back on? Perhaps I do. But either way, once the shayat, if the shayat fell so far that it slipped, so it's all the way around to the back of my arm, right? It slipped really out of the zone of tefillin. Otherwise, it slipped down onto my forearm, slipped past my elbow onto my forearm. For sure, not in the makom tefillin. I am definitely not fulfilling the shayat right now. So Radal says, wonders, maybe I should move the shalrosh. And offhand, it's a good argument. How am I allowed? I'm not allowed to wear the shalrosh without the shalyad. Take off the shalrosh and then fix your shalyad. Oh, I think you're raising a question of tasav lamen ha'asui. Yeah. Okay. So actually, that's raising an important point, and that's actually a way of getting in here. So what the Radal says, he says, it would have been, offhand, it sounds right that you should remove the shalrosh right away, kol zman shebeinecha yerushalayim. But he captures essentially what the Tosfos Erechin says. He doesn't point to Tosfos Erechin, points to Rush, who's quoting Balei Tosfos, says the same thing. But he says, look, the Rush said that if you're stuck and you cannot wear the shayad, you still put on a shalrosh. So what is that? And that's exactly what our toast that toast in Erechin said. He said, so Radal says, what that teaches me is what? He doesn't fully patch it. But I think with the understanding that we have of the toasts, we can put it together. It would have been a good argument that again, that when the shayad falls off, nishmat hashayad, nun shin mem tes, shayad slips away. You better remove the shalrosh right away. Oy, otherwise, you're in violation. Every time, moment you keep the shalrosh on the shayad, you're in violation of kol zman shebeinecha yerushalayim. If it that would be a good argument, were it to be true that there's an iser matzav, there's a real iser against having shalrosh on alone. But as Tosas pointed out, that's not true. It's not an iser. It's just the Torah. It sounds, the drasha sounds that way, but really it's what? It's not an Isser Matzav. It's not an Isser to have that situation. Instead, it's positive instructions about the Kedima of Maisim. It's a sequence of mitzvahs, a sequence specifically of the act of putting on and sequence of the act of taking off. When you're planning, once again, coming back to what we said before, if you're planning to put on both Shayat and Sharosh, here's the order in which you do them. If you're planning to take off both the Shayat and Sharosh, here's the order in which you take them off. Right? And that drasha is a very compact, elegant way of teaching me two different rules of Kedima. Kedima of Hanacha Shayat first, Kedima of Chalitza Sharosh first. But it's only a rule of Kedima. If you're planning to put them both on, here's how you do it. If you're planning to take them both off, here's how you do it. But I'm not planning to do any of that here. My shayad fell off. So I'm going to put the shayad back on. What does that have to do with my shalrosh? Again, the Radal is saying essentially our point. It's our Gemara and Lamed Vav sounds like it's telling me an iser. You're not allowed to have the shalrosh on alone. It's forbidden to have a unadorned, unaccompanied shalrosh. The shalrosh never travels alone. Literally, that's what it means. But it's not actually the nature of the din. Nature of the din is only a din of kedima. So if I were to be putting them both on, put them on this order. If I were taking them both off, take them off in this order. So you're right. If you're planning to take off both the shayad and sharosh, it's not you're not allowed to take off the shayad first. You must take off the sharosh first. But the shayad fell off on its own. So what's the point of taking sharosh off? Even if I took off the shayad. Why take off Sharosh for? It's too late. Shayad came off already. The rule is when in Chalitza Satfilin, you're supposed to remove the Sharosh first, before the Shayad. Okay, that's irrelevant. Shayad fell off already. So there's no reason to take, you gain nothing, you accomplish nothing by taking the Sharosh off now. And again, that it's a very elegant nafkamina, subtle and elegant nafkamina in this Chakira, whether the nature of the din in our Gemara. It's sort of like a new iser, a new requirement that Sharosh has to be accompanied, a din matzav, but we reject that. It's not a din matzav, it's just a rule of kedima of masim. That's why, number one, when you have the Sharosh alone, you do put on a Sharosh alone. And when Shayad fell off, there's nothing wrong with maintaining your Sharosh on alone. And so until you get around to putting on the shaliyad. And the only reason to rush to put the shaliyad back on is because you don't want to miss out on the mitzvah shaliyad. It's not that you're in violation. It's not that you're in violation of anything. So our focus tonight, and let's wrap up with this and sort of sense of where we're going next time. Our focus tonight was to appreciate the din that the Gemara is teaching us in terms of how things ought to be done. And as we stress from beginning to end, this is a din l'chatchila. What's supposed to happen? What's supposed to happen? How am I supposed to put in Shaliyah? How am I supposed to put in Sharosh? And we saw that's a work our way through the two different drushas. Tosus points out the first drusha appears to be rejected entirely. The Rebbe Manoach disagrees. But either way, it's not actually a requirement of a certain state. It's not that you're not allowed to have a Sharosh on alone, but rather it's a double din of Kadima, similar to Tadir. If and only if I'm planning to put on both Shayan and Sharosh, or if and only if I plan to remove both Shayan and Sharosh, then there's an order in which you do them. But I want to take a look at next time, Ritz Hashem, is to look at the Bidi'evit. What happens when things are out of order? And that's going to say, tonight we're very, very focused on this tefillin-specific din. Based on the drusha of Ahayut HaTavos Be'enecha, what's the nature of that? Clearly, this is not a global halachic principle. We compared it to other halachic principles like Tadir. The Chakira of Kedima versus Matzav is a global halachic Chakira, but the specifics of this din, Ahayut HaTavos Be'enecha, is obviously unique and specific to the world of tefillin. What's intriguing, though, what we'll open with next time is the Gemara in Yuma also talks in a Beis HaMikdash context, a fascinating Beis HaMikdash context. The Gemara starts talking in general about how you organize mitzvahs, how you sequence mitzvahs. And the Gemara appears to say that put on the Shayad before the Sharosh is an application of a global rule, some other global rule in how you sequence mitzvahs. We spoke about Tadja. The Gemara there has a different global rule in terms of how you sequence mitzvahs. It's very fascinating because Agmar Menachas appears to say it's based on darshaning the psukim to have been handling, darshaning the psukim of tefillin. So we have to take a look, Mishnah, next time. We'll open with the Gemara in Yuma that relates the Seder Hanachas tefillin to the Seder of the morning avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. And we're going to have to see how those play out. It's actually going to take us on a fascinating journey. It's going to take us to a famous shua of the Chacham Tzvi, about a Jew who was in jail. You have one day a year to get out of jail. Which day do you pick? You pick Rosh Hashanah for Shofar, Purim for Megillah, Yom Kippur, or maybe none of the above. It's going to take us to remarkable new understanding of the Seder plate, and it's going to take us to renewed appreciation of these dinim of Seder mitzvahs in general, and Seder of Tefillin in particular. Those are B'li Neder coming attractions for next week. The Mar Makomos for that you already have. The Mar Makomos that I put out include, tonight we covered what appears Mar Makomos as part Aleph, L'chatchila, and B'li Neder for next week, we're going to work on what appears in the Mar Makomos, Chelek Beis, the Bidyevit. Yashar Koach, Chaver, thank you so much. Thank you for joining, Rich, and we will continue next week. Yeah.